Yesterday, Tulsa police released video of Friday's fatal shooting of Terrence Crutcher, a 40-year-old African-American man. Crutcher was unarmed, shot once at close range. It appeared he was moving backwards with his hands up. Police say he was acting erratically. In footage from a helicopter circling the scene, an officer is heard making a judgment about what he was seeing many feet below.
That looks like a bad dude, too. I'll be on something.
On Monday, the sister of that, quote, bad dude who might have been on something, Tiffany Crutcher, called for charges to be filed against the officer who killed her brother.
You all want to know who that big bad dude was? That big bad dude was my twin brother. That big bad dude was a father.
Joining us now is Matt Trotter, a reporter for KWGS Public Radio in Tulsa. Matt, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hi, John.
How is the sort of sense of community, nerves right now in Tulsa? I mean, there's a tense racial history in Tulsa that not a lot of people are aware of in America, but people in Tulsa are certainly aware of it. How are people feeling right now?
You know, you can feel a bit of that unrest sort of simmering under the surface. I talked to some protesters downtown yesterday morning, and their sense is they're going to let the justice system handle it. They're going to let the investigations play out, but they don't have complete trust in them. So there's a sense of if this doesn't go right, if they sense some sort of corruption or wrongdoing in it that gives a result they're not expecting, things might change.
What is the status of the officers in this incident who appear on the video? And that includes everybody, even the helicopter folks.
The only one I know of is Officer Betty Shelby, the one who actually fired. She's on paid leave, which is standard. The others, I don't know.
What history in Tulsa does this have? I mean, what is the status of trust between law enforcement and the African American community in Tulsa, if you can describe such a thing?
I would say it's been shaken, definitely. Being sort of a newcomer to Tulsa myself, I've lived here 4 years. I don't have the entire history, of course, but I was here less than 18 months ago when another unarmed black man was shot and killed by a Tulsa law enforcement officer. And this was a volunteer sheriff's deputy who donated significant amounts of money and resources to the force, didn't have adequate training to be in the assignment that he was in. And the official line was he mistook his taser for his gun. He accidentally drew his gun and fired his gun rather than his taser while participating in a sting operation, shot an unarmed man, and that man died. And just 4 months ago, that volunteer deputy received a 4-month prison sentence for it, which many felt was not enough.
And what you're describing is kind of an eagerness on the part of certain members of the law enforcement community, or an eagerness on the part of Tulsa civilians to get involved in exciting events like SWAT, stings, this sort of thing, and that bears on the issue of who's a cop and who's not a cop in Tulsa in some way?
It's not common practice for civilians to, join the police force as a volunteer or the sheriff's department as a volunteer and get involved in these things. The case that I was just talking about is sort of an outlier in all this. He received a bit of preferential treatment under the previous sheriff. But that led to a different kind of citizen involvement. We had an advocacy group called We the People Oklahoma that stepped forward to file a petition asking for a grand jury investigation of the sheriff's office. And while the deputy himself was being investigated for the shooting, the sheriff's department was also being investigated for things like inadequate training of their volunteers and misuse of resources, and ultimately led to a misdemeanor conviction of the previous sheriff.
How has the leadership of law enforcement in Tulsa been handling this? What's been their focus? It seems transparency has been pretty much front and center here.
Right, and transparency has been mentioned a couple times, both by civic leaders and community leaders and the police department. The police department put this video out yesterday, but they sort of had a closed door session Sunday with community leaders and family members to show them the video. So they did that ahead of time before releasing it to the public. And the police chief's been on record as calling the video disturbing.
You know, I'm a lay person, and I'm probably putting you in an uncomfortable position. But again, the circumstances are puzzling. Why would you just and apparently backup had just arrived on the scene? Why would you pull the trigger in a situation like that? Is there any indication of circumstances that help to explain what happened on that video?
The only thing that that we know right now is Officer Shelby's attorney says that she felt threatened under the circumstances. And I'm not sure whether that's their claim that he attempted to reach into the SUV, which you can't definitively tell from any of the video that's available, or callers saying that the man was acting erratically, the man that turned out to be Terrence Crutcher. And, you know, it's hard to say what exactly led up to it. We just don't have that information. We don't have that video footage. It doesn't exist.
But for now, anyway, there's a peace in Tulsa as both sides in this case, this disturbing case, as Matt Trotter describes, attempt to see how the circumstances will unfold. Matt, thanks so much.
You're welcome, John.
Matt Trotter is a reporter for KWGS Public Radio in Tulsa, and he's covering the case of Mr. Crutcher, Terrence Crutcher, a 40-year-old African-American who was shot on Friday, unarmed and at close range.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.